Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, it's been a fire hose of bad news here in recent years. So we're happy to be talking about good things, fun things, the Final Four. Maybe this pandemic is beginning to wind down, although there's some days I scratch my head. Could we really be that lucky? No more variants? I hope so. But thankfully, Laura Oakes always had good news, and she has it every Sunday morning. 6:30, there's a podcast called Laura's Good News that you can get wherever you consume your podcasts, and Laura joins us right now. Greetings. Happy Friday,
Hello.
Laura.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for the beautiful weather this afternoon.
Thank you for thanking me. I normally get blamed, but
I know.
I appreciate that. What are you working on this weekend?
Yeah, well, my podcast is up, so it's available to listen to now.
Right
this
now.
Week's podcast, yep.
Okay.
And on Laura's Good News this week, I talk with one of our very own, Shaletta Brundage. Everybody knows her. Everybody loves her. And we know it's been widely reported this past week about the big award she won from USA Today.
Yeah.
She got Woman of the Year for Minnesota from USA Today.
Whoa.
So that's a biggie. I mean,
yeah.
And she has won countless awards for her advocacy work and her work in the community, but this is a biggie. So I wanted to talk to her about that, as some of us have over the past week, and we have a pretty fun discussion that veers into parenthood and some of the challenges with children. That's pretty funny. So we had a great chat. And, you know, Shaletta's amazing. She has, for those who don't know, three of her four kids were born with autism.
Right.
Now, two of those kids have tested, so they are off the spectrum. But still, she has had many, many years of learning to raise children with autism and all of those special time-consuming things that need to be done to make sure they're thriving. And it's amazing what she has done. And she not only helps other parents going through who have children with autism and are going through some of these challenges, but it's just endless. Like, she's kind of, I called her the Energizer Bunny, because she never stops, never rests. And if she's not helping families with autism, she's doing a food drive. She's making sure families have carbon monoxide detectors. She is working on a podcast to help other parents of kids with autism. It's amazing. I don't know when the girl sleeps. It's crazy.
I don't either. And what I love about Shaletta, she says what she thinks.
Oh, yes.
There's not much of a filter there.
Uh-uh.
And I find that authenticity refreshing.
Yes.
You know, not kissing up, not telling people what they want to hear, telling people what they need to hear.
Right.
And
right.
I like it too when people say, Shaletta, stay in your lane. And
I don't think she knows how to stay in her lane.
No.
And that's okay. That's part of her. It's part of her. Yeah. Also, I talked with the deputy director of the Ramsey County Library System. If you remember a story from earlier this week, the Ramsey County system is forgiving $415,000 in overdue late fees and fines.
Whoa.
Yes. in a way, as a way to prevent, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to call it discrimination, but let's just say that the majority of people with these late fees and fines are people of color who have trouble paying them and who have lost their access to the library system because they haven't paid their fines. So they're forgiving this. And this is kind of a trend. The St. Paul Public Library System did this a couple of years ago. Hennepin County has done the same thing. So they're kind of wiping the slate clean for all of these people with overdue fines and fees to say, come on back to the library. We want you here. We want you to be able to check out our books or do whatever you need to do, and you're important to us. So that was a nice little interesting conversation with Pang Yang. Also on the show, Sharon Jackson, the food writer from the Star Tribune, always has great ideas for new things to try. And, you know, we're in fish fry season. Everybody's talking about the latest fish fry and where to go and what's the best fish fry and fish sandwich. She found a fish sandwich in the North Loop Gallery Food Hall, which is called the McMahi, that is a wonderful Hawaiian-themed fish sandwich.
Oh,
yep, at a place called Ono, O-N-O. So that's one that I need to try.
And where is that again?
That is in, it's called the North Loop Gallery Food Hall on Washington Avenue North.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I know. That's a good one to try. We tried, my husband and I tried a few fish fries last year when all of the fish fry recommendations were coming out. And there's some good ones around town. I don't think you can really go wrong with a fish fry, but this sandwich sounds magnificent.
Back to the whole overdue book thing.
Yes.
I think part of the problem may be, too, that people just forget that they have a book somewhere in their house.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I do that all the time. My wife, I had a great library full of books, and my wife said, no more. It's like an addiction, you know. I buy them. I want to keep them. She goes, there's this amazing invention called the Kindle. But it's just not
It's not the same as a real book. You know what I do? We have a whole bunch of those little free libraries around our neighborhood. And I have kind of made a deal with myself that I'm only going to pick books out of these little free libraries. And then when I'm done with them, I'll put them back for somebody else and I'll pick a new one. So I always have a book going that has come from one of these little cute little sheds in my neighbor's yards.
Very cool.
Neighborhood. Yeah.
That's a great idea. Laura, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Laura's Good News, out on your favorite podcast right this moment, or you can tune in 6:30 Sunday morning for Laura's Good News. My hockey hair is looking worse than ever because something happened this past winter that hasn't happened in 49 years statewide. Kenny Blumenfeld from the Minnesota DNR will explain next. Let it out. Go ahead and shout. Should have a primal scream hour here at CCO. We just take turns yelling into the void. There's plenty to complain about. And look, we didn't have an easy winter. It was a La Nina winter. Cool phase in the Pacific, cooler equatorial ocean water in the Pacific, which tends to correlate with chillier winters here. And the Weather Service predicted that months ago. Colder than average. Snow could go either way, but that forecast actually turned out to be okay. And yeah, it was the coldest winter in 8 years, but there were some things about last winter that I wanted to share with you that Kenny Blumenfeld, Professor Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist, Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and the State Climatology Office. That's a big title. Hey, Kenny, welcome back.
Well, we just inflate our titles here, you know, but good to be back, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me. We always have great insight into the winter, and my perception was it was a breezy and unusually windy winter, but you apparently did some research and made a surprising discovery, right?
Yeah, well, we were starting to hear this, and it's been one of these hard questions to answer for a long time. People are, oh, is it getting windier? Is it really windy? And, you know, you know from being in the business, that perception is it can be really difficult because it always seems like something is worse or more common now. But when we looked at it, we just started, you know, cutting through the data. And first of all, we found, you know, this winter, we had a 60-mile-an-hour wind gust during February at the Twin Cities Airport. And that was a first.
Yep.
And we've had since December a number of, I think, three or four different 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. And then we had over, I think, a dozen or so 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts. And we were up, when you count all of the days with 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts, it's almost half the winter.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's 46.
46.
So half the winter. So basically every other day we're seeing a wind gust of 30 miles an hour or greater. And this isn't just in the Twin Cities. This was pretty much across the state. And it was even gustier out in western Minnesota. And then when we look backwards, we just don't see any winter that matches this at all. And we can go back about 50 years with reasonable confidence, and we just don't see anything even close. The closest year was a few years earlier, 2019, where we had 32 of those days, which is a lot of 30-mile-an-hour winds, but we hadn't seen, you know, basically every other day.
That's crazy. So the gustiest winter in 49 years since records were started, in the early 70s?
Okay. Yeah, we could go back farther, but the anemometer, the wind measurement sensor, was at all kinds of different heights and in different places, and we just don't have a reliable record. But going back to 73, it's been in pretty much the same general location, and maybe not always at the exact same height, but close enough. We just don't see anything like it.
Wow.
Windy. And March, it continues. I think we've had already 8 days with 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts this March, too. So it's just a windy old time.
Kenny, you had me at anemometer. And you said it correctly, too. I'm impressed. You should say it correctly. Hey, and those temperature, the winds are basically a reflection of the temperature gradient, the ups and downs. The faster the temperatures change, the stronger the winds have to blow. So it really was a reflection of this parade, nonstop parade of crazy clippers. And the roller coaster effect, I don't know if there's a term for this, but the ups and downs temperature-wise, that was also unusual this winter, right?
Yeah, it was. It not quite as outstanding as the gusty winds, but we find kind of a top five winter going back even farther. We can push that back into the 30s in the Twin Cities. Basically a top five winter for the amount of change that we had from day to day. There's a lot of different ways you could look at it. How much did the temperature go up or down from one day to the next? Or what was the total temperature change, you know, going from low to high or from high to low from one day to the next? This was one of the tops. And January in particular was quite changeable. That was actually kind of a record month for us for how changeable it was. It was truly a roller coaster. Lots of, you know, warm and then cold and then warm again, and then you'd fall off the cliff. And you're right about that. Those changes always come on the winds. And so we got the winds and the temperature changes at the same time. And not to be forgotten, when you have all that wind, you know, out in western Minnesota, that means whiteouts.
Yeah.
So this is a winter of whiteouts in the Red River Valley. They had a record number of blizzard warnings in that region.
Talk a little bit about snow in March. When I got here in 83, March was the snowiest month of the year. The latest 30-year averages, I think March is, what, fourth snowiest? We still get snow, but it seems to melt faster. It doesn't seem like snow in March is as big a deal now as it was 30, 40 years ago. Am I right about that or not?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think lots of kids learned, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, we all learned that March was the snowiest month, and it was. It was only getting snowier at the time. But since then, it's really slid. And it's now, you're right, the fourth snowiest month on average across the state. Some areas, it's number three still. But for the most part, it's number four. And it's been replaced by February, which used to be right at the bottom of all the main kind of winter months. February was always the one that you couldn't count on for anything exciting, and now it's really started turning out winter storms in recent years and big snowfall events, and March has kind of slid into, you know, it's probably because we're losing some of that snowfall to rain as the winter temperatures increase.
Right.
More rainy days in March, but before you jump to that, you know, cling on to that conclusion, you still got April, which has also emerged as a much snowier month in recent decades.
God help me, yeah. what was it, 2018, when we had these two blockbuster snowstorms back-to-back in mid-March?
Yeah.
That was nuts. So time for two quick questions. One, the drought. It seems like NOAA is predicting some recovery from the drought, continued improvement for most of Minnesota and Wisconsin, but just to our west, really the western half of America, the drought is forecast to persist. What do you tell people when they ask you about what can we expect for farming, for water in our lakes? What's your spidey sense, Kenny?
Yeah, thanks. Good observation. I tell people right now, we shouldn't be too comfortable. Certainly don't crack open the champagne bottles just yet. It is, we did make huge recoveries in the fall, and so there's no technical drought in the western half or so of Minnesota. That's great. Technically, there's no drought. But we are surrounded by drought in other areas. If you zoom out from Minnesota, basically the entire western half of the country west of the Mississippi River is in some kind of drought already. And the predictions for the next couple months look pretty good from NOAA. At least they don't have any kind of dire, drying out. But if you look at, they just released yesterday their longer range forecasts, and if you look at what they have for June, July, and August, they actually have us with a greater than normal likelihood of being warm and a greater than normal likelihood of being dry, and that doesn't bode well. So I guess what I've been telling folks, especially the farmers, is just hope, we need rain for the next, we need to be average to slightly above average for the early growing season, and hopefully it's kind of distributed well and not all coming at once. Early growing season, getting that half inch to an inch every week or so is kind of a nice diet from April into June. And if we can do that, that would give us some resilience against, if dry conditions do emerge again later in the summer.
And the other thing, by the way, Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist for the state of Minnesota, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. The other thing that goes through my mind, even if we don't have a drought, and we have decent weather, adequate precipitation this summer, if the West is in severe extreme drought and parts of the West are on fire perpetually, which it seems like that's more and more of a deal every summer, that smoke drifts over Minnesota. So part of me wonders, are we going to have another summer with air quality issues because there's drought just to our west? I guess there's no way to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, though. We're really hoping that the west doesn't just burst into flames again, because that wasn't good for us. And right now, that writing isn't necessarily on the wall just yet. I mean, they got decent precipitation over the winter. They brought themselves down, in many cases, 1 to 3 drought categories. So we're in a better situation than we were last spring. But, yeah, I mean, we're moving into their dry season. It's always odd. Our wet season is their dry season.
Right.
And so we do have to watch out. And we're lucky because all we need is that southerly wind, and we get the air coming off of the Gulf of Mexico, and we can get watered pretty good when that happens. But out west, they really are far from those moisture sources.
Yep.
They need it in the wintertime.
Absolutely. Speaking of water, the potential for river flooding, it seems to be pretty low. I mean, this is kind of a perfect situation, gradual melting of the snowpack we had. The ground is still frozen. If we were to get heavy rain in the next couple of weeks, that could change the equation. Red River Valley, still a potential for major flooding. But, for most of the Minnesota River, the Mississippi here, most of central and southern Minnesota, looks like we might be okay this spring, right?
That's what we're hearing from all the kind of predictive hydrologists out at the Weather Service and in other areas. That for the most part, it's we're in pretty good shape, or at least normal shape. The flooding that we do expect in the Red River Valley is not unusual, right? And you always have to remember, that's an area that floods easily, and they've been through a lot, and they've built up a lot to kind of protect themselves. And they're not looking at anything cataclysmic, barring, as you mentioned, a real big soaker in the next few weeks that kind of adds some insult to injury. But, what we're hearing mostly is that everything's been pretty average hydrologically through the winter. The one area where I'd say there's actually an exception is southwest Minnesota, where they've really been kind of snow-starved for the last 6 weeks, and they don't have much. So we're watching them. And then some of our neighbors off to the southeast, it's just a whole other world. If you go into Wisconsin and especially Illinois and eastern Iowa, they're running 200, 300% precipitation surpluses in that
area. Wow. All right. Kenny Blumenfeld, Professor Kenny Blumenfeld, Senior Climatologist for the state of Minnesota. Thank you for your perspective and keep us posted. Gustiest winter in 49 years. You heard it first right here on CCO. Thank you, Kenny.
Good talking with you, Paul. Thank you.
Good talking with you. And now we need to talk about weird news, and we're going to have a little competition. We need a judge. Give us a call if you'd like to judge the weird news. Please, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Call and bother DJ right now, and you can be a judge on CCO. We'll be right back. Oh, my. It's time for weird news. And Jim in Minneapolis is our special guest judge. What a great honor. Hey, Jim.
It is indeed. All rise.
I'm bowing in your general direction, Jim. Thank you. All right. You know how it works. Just we're going to three stories and you pick me. That's how it works. And you pick the best story. I'm not sure I've got the best story today, but we appreciate you coming along for the ride.
Oh, it's always fun.
All right. DJ, why don't you go first this time?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to tell you a story from Johnsonburg, Pennsylvania, where there's a disturbing case.
Johnsonburg?
Johnsonburg. I don't make up the names of the town. Do you know where that is? It's in your state, Pennsylvania. Why is that? It's not what we're talking about here, okay? I'm sorry that you're still in the sixth grade, but I'm going to move on to my story.
Johnsonburg?
Okay.
Wow. Okay, you
really?
Can just stop.
Really,
just
Paul?
Stop talking.
Really? In Johnsonville, Pennsylvania.
I thought it was Johnson.
Well, it is. I'm changing it because you're being inappropriate.
It's the Johnson part. Not the Ville or the Berg.
A disturbing case of deer jumping to their... You guys want to go first?
Nope.
No, go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, my gosh. We're off the rails already. In this town, in this unnameable town in Pennsylvania, deer are jumping to their death. Yes, there is a spot on the overpass of U.S. 119 where apparently deer come out of the woods and then take a wrong turn and get spooked and leap to their death off the overpass. Oh. Over 25 deer have recently met their demise this way. Residents are trying to figure out what to do. They're calling PennDOT, which I guess is what you call it there, Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
They're getting cooperation from the Game Commission, who's being very cooperative as they try to figure out how to stop these deer from jumping off the overpass as the bodies continue to build up. They're trying to get a diversion fence or maybe use some of the netting that they would normally use to stop debris and snow from going over the overpass into populated areas. Residents are very hopeful that they'll find a fix for this problem. But for now, 3 months after Christmas, it continues to rain deer.
To rain deer
in Johnsonburg, Pennsylvania. Okay. You're welcome.
Okay.
Can I be done now?
JP? JP, go.
If it was, are you ready?
Yeah.
If it wasn't for bad clock, a flock of escaped chickens that wandered through busy roads ended up riding shotgun through a Dunkin' Donuts drive-through window in an animal control officer service vehicle. Animal control officer Jessica Jackson of Casco Naples Raymond Harrison Regional Animal Control Department said she was called out Wednesday on a report of a flock of loose chickens wandering through traffic on routes 302 and 11 in Naples. Jackson said the chickens ended up gathering on a parked oil truck at the Dodge Oil Company located at the corner of the intersection. The officer said she was unable to identify the owner of the chickens, so she was left with the task of transporting them to a foster farm for safekeeping. I tried to get them into the dog kennels I carry, but I did not have enough kennels for the amount of chickens. My capture net was broken because it had been chewed through by a rat, so I couldn't use that. Jackson used dog kibble to lure the chickens into the back seat of her car and realized too late that the sliding door operating the back seat from the front was open. Jackson said she attempted to shoo the birds from the front seat to the back seat, but the chickens became agitated and started pooping. For the sake of my cruiser, I decided to let them ride shotgun, Jackson said. We took a side trip through Dunkin' Donuts for donut crumbs and a coffee and then headed off to the farm. Animal Control Department did share a video to Facebook showing the chickens accompanying Jackson in the front seat of her vehicle.
Oh, my. Okay. If it wasn't for dumb cluck. Okay. That's clever.
Bad cluck. But that's okay.
Bad cluck? I thought it was dumb cluck.
Is it dumb cluck?
Got to be very careful here. All right. So here's mine, Jim.
You.
This is not going,
Paul,
as well as it did in rehearsal. I'd like to get off this airplane, please. Dozens of JetBlue passengers spent about an hour sitting on an idle plane on the tarmac at Worcester, Massachusetts Airport Monday night after staff left for the night without letting them off the plane.
Oof.
Apparently, a JetBlue crew member trained on safely operating the jet bridge. God, I've always wanted to try that with that joystick. You know what I'm talking about, the joystick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
When you get onto the plane, you see that joystick? Yeah, I'm going to try that. Anyway, a JetBlue crew member who was trained to operate the jet bridge got sick and went home before allowing people on the plane to disembark. At one point, the pilot said, "I have something embarrassing to tell you guys. There is nobody to get you off the flight." The state police were called, and they were going to have to evacuate the passengers. But at the last moment, they did reach a JetBlue manager who had to drive from his home to the airport to let the people off the airplane. Now, the airline is blaming weather, staffing, communications problems, El Nino. Yeah, it's a long list. So let's go around the horn one more time. DJ.
That's a different kind of reindeer.
JP?
If it wasn't for bad cluck.
Okay. And mine is, I'd like to get off this airplane, please. So, Jim, I apologize for my immaturity. Of those three, which is the weirdest?
Well, I listen to you guys, and it's because of your youthful attitudes. I would have to say, having been a customer of JetBlue a number of times, I think that sounds like it's par for the course.
Oh, really? So you didn't have some great experiences?
Well, then it's not a very weird story. It's just normal. It's a normal story, then, is what you're saying.
Oh,
that's kind of normal.
Are you adjudicating this now?
Well, isn't that my job?
No, it's not. I'm talking to DJ. DJ sounds bitter because are you picking my story, Jim?
Yes, I am.
God,
yep.
God bless you.
Well, you just said it was a normal thing.
We've all been there sitting on a plane. Can you imagine having to call out the state police to get, I don't know how they get the people off, even with the state police. Jim in Minneapolis, thank you for listening, and have a great spring and a wonderful weekend.
Hey, thanks a lot, you guys. You have a wonderful one as well.
Thank you,
Take
Jim.
Care.
Kind of bitter, aren't you? Thank you, JP.
Yeah, I should have won.
We're all bitter.
God, it's a game. It's not like your brackets.
Oh, you say that now because you won.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right.
It's just a
Mr.
game.
Mr. Johnson.
Don't take it so seriously.
Johnsonburg.
Johnsonville. Who names these towns? Really? All right. When we come back, the one and only Mike Max. Maxi Sports brought to you by the John Schuster Group, Coldwell Banker Real Estate. When people say, Paul, why isn't your forecast better? I don't get mad anymore. I try not to get defensive. I ask how their brackets are going.
Yeah.
Predicting?
Take that, right?
Predicting the future is hard. And Maxi, I picked Gonzaga to go all the way, but my final four was Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, and Auburn. And already I'm losing. St. Peter's?
St. Peter's, man.
Yep. What?
You should have asked me before you filled out the bracket.
I should have. Did you pick St. Peter's?
Yes. If you'd have seen them at the end of the year, particularly the way they shot the ball in the second halves of games, you'd have picked them, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm impressed. And New Mexico State
I'm just
over
making that up.
You dork. You didn't pick St. Peter's.
No, I didn't pick.
Where is it? I think they're in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, Philly. Yeah, is it New Jersey or St. Peter's? There's a guy by the name of Bobby Jones, coached with Clem Haskins. He left Haskins' staff to coach St. Peter's many years ago, and that was as close as I came to knowing much about that school.
So. UConn lost. The Hawkeyes lost.
Iowa lost to Richmond, and of course they had become a chic pick for many because they had won the Big Ten tournament, and so you know you're coming off that kind of momentum, and people go, hey, they must be on a roll, and they weren't. Purdue won handily today, no surprise, but I think Purdue is built for a long run because they really got everything there. Matt Painter's built that team. I mean, he's got size, he's got shooters, they can get up and down the floor. They don't always do it in one game, but you know, in theory, on paper, he's got everything you need. Marcus Carr, the former Gopher, just hit a mid-court shot to close out the half. He's playing for Texas, and they're playing. They're up by two. I think it is on Virginia Tech. But you forget that Marcus Carr was the whole team almost last year at times, and he's still playing. You just lose track of him, but he's playing for Texas now.
Yeah. Hey, talk about Davante Adams. Packers trading Davante to the Raiders. I guess Rodgers can't be too thrilled about that. But Rodgers got his big payday. Do you think he's? Does it matter?
I don't know if they did a deal where they said, hey, Aaron, you signed this deal. We're going to franchise Devontae, which they did. But Devontae didn't want to be franchised. And so he forced him to trade him to the Raiders because he wanted a bigger deal. And he got it. Excuse me. I don't know if that would be the kind of thing that would be a burr in Rodgers' saddle because, conventional wisdom was he's coming back and he's going to have Adams. To throw to, and obviously he doesn't now, and he's got Lazard and a couple guys that can catch the ball, but not like Adams. I can't imagine they'd pull the rug from under his feet. You would think that they'd be transparent and say, this is what we're trying to get done. We can't guarantee it before he signed his deal, but he ends up with the Raiders, and that's big.
What's that line from Animal House? Hey, you messed up. You trusted us.
You messed up. You trusted us, yes.
Or something like that. Maxie, have a great weekend, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Paul.
We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.